from TSN and NBC draft coverage. Greg, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I am great, Jason. And if I haven't told you this enough, I'm going to tell you again, love, best music in the business right on your show.
I love it. I had DJ Majot, man. He kills it every day on the show. Craig, there's been a lot of action since the draft. We were talking all about the draft, and we've seen a lot of trades, free agent signings. Which team do you think has done the best in the past week?
Yeah, you know, there's so many teams that I think, you know, they look, they add to their teams, and you can't help but feel that these are teams that have not only improved themselves, but are going to be real formidable at. I mean, let's just start in the Pacific Division. So Anaheim's improved themselves, in my view. LA's improved themselves. San Jose's improved themselves. Edmonton's improved themselves. Calgary's improved themselves. I mean, Arizona, I think that, you know, based on what Edmonton has done, I think that they sit clearly at the bottom of the Western Conference. I think Colorado in the Central has improved themselves. And, you know, I think one of the teams that is really, really, you know, going to be challenged to make the playoffs next year is the Vancouver Canucks. And, yeah, they have some young players, and they're going to need to get some productivity out of their younger players if they're going to want to push for the playoffs. But I thought Eddie Lack was their most consistent goaltender from pretty much January on, and their best goaltender, Kevin Bieksa. And, yeah, you can have all the faith in Jakob Markstrom, but to me, he still hasn't shown that he's capable at the NHL level. And you're going to have to fill a lot of minutes that Kevin Bieksa played that are big minutes. But I think that the Pacific Division and the Western Conference has become a whole lot tougher. The Central Division last year I thought was the toughest division in hockey, and I think that title might go back to the Pacific this year.
Greg Button joins us. Greg, Phil Kessel trade, everybody in Toronto felt like he had to go. He was that cancerous, and they're obviously closer to the room than I am, and I don't discount that. But, man, they sure didn't get a whole bunch for him. Was his trade value that low, or did they lower it by making it clear they wanted to deal him?
Well, it's probably not just one factor, Jason. There's numerous factors that lead to it. Number one, I don't think the Toronto Maple Leafs made any secret that they wanted to make significant changes to the roster. And, you know, Phil was certainly in the crosshairs in that regard. That being said, when you're in a cap crunch across the National Hockey League, and by cap crunch, I'm talking about revenues didn't go up significantly, and there's not a lot of room to fit in players. 7 years remaining at $8 million cap hit is really onerous. So I don't think that Phil Kessel, the player, Phil Kessel productivity. I mean, you know what? You always hear a lot of different things surrounding a player at different ends. And you hear worse things, you know, after they get traded and when a team isn't very good. But, you know, Phil Kessel is a top-end goal scorer. And the whole situation in Toronto was a mess from last summer on. When the assistant coaches got changed, and then Dave Poulin and Claude Loisel got changed, and then they changed the coach, and Peter Horacek comes in and was clearly over his head. And I don't know who could have had success in that environment, because, you know, everybody was waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it did. But, you know, Tyler Seguin gets traded from Boston. He parties too much. You know, he does this, you know. Dougie Hamilton gets traded. Oh, he didn't fit in. He's a little bit odd. I mean, like, what I would say to people, shut up after you trade a player. Celebrate what he did for you, and let him go riding out with his head held high. I think it's complete BS when I hear teams start bad-mouthing players after they've been traded, because I think that's a reflection on the people, not on the players.
Won't get an argument from me. It was no different. Like, the Dougie Hamilton one was ridiculous, and a loner in the room. Like, whatever. Yeah. You know what?
He's a loner, and Tyler Seguin is a partier, and you know, Phil Kessel was aloof. Just look back at Boston. That's all they do. I think it's garbage.
Yeah. I will 100% agree on that. We had a text message coming in from Matt wondering, you mentioned how Anaheim's improved. They've got a lot of cap space, Craig. Do you think any chance they're a destination for Patrick Sharp?
You know, it's interesting, and I think Patrick Sharp falls into a lot of different discussions. Anaheim, certainly. But, you know, again, you look at term. Patrick Sharp has 2 years left on his term. And I think that, you know, you look at the odd deal that he just signed in Columbus. And I, hey, listen, I know the Chicago Blackhawks really likes Brandon Saad, but I think they started to look at it and started to think, well, geez, are we going to end up being in a situation where that contract, that term ends up, you know, limiting us in terms of some of our other players? Whereas Patrick Sharp plays the point on the power play, kills penalties, can move around your lineup, right wing, left wing, can take faceoffs. You know, all of a sudden you start to look at it and go, wait a sec, 5.9 for 2 years, is that better for us than 6 years at times six? So I think that Patrick has a lot of value to the Chicago Blackhawks, but also if they decide that they can move him, and I'm not suggesting that they aren't going to move him, I would say that it, with that two-year term, that there's lots of value for him. And because the Anaheim Ducks have a lot of really good young players, I mean, that's where the Chicago Blackhawks have to look if they're going to add a player like that. And Chicago's won the Cup 3 times in the last 6 years. Anaheim's trying to win it once since 2007. So, you know, Patrick Sharp could make a lot of sense in a two-year term. You know, you're not going to, in my view, hurt your long-term contract situation, because those players coming out of entry level, out of bridge deals, are not quite there yet.
Is there a team, Craig, that you mentioned Vancouver you think is going to fall, and I agree with that, and I'm not sure they're in a position to make a lot of great moves. Is there a team out there that you felt didn't do enough to improve their situation to be a contender?
Yeah, you know, and I think we got to keep in mind it's still July 3rd, right? I mean, San Jose adds Joel Ward today, and, you know, we have to allow that. I like what Detroit did. I like the fact that they added Brad Richards and Mike Green. Term was really good. Dollars were fine for me. So, I'd like, you know, you look at teams. You know, I'm a little bit curious about two teams, and there are two teams in the Western Conference, the St. Louis Blues and the Nashville Predators, two teams that were very good. And I'm not saying that they're not still good teams, but when I look at their teams and I look at them and I think, okay, where are you headed with your group? Well, Troy Brouwer is a decent third-line player, penalty killer. Like, I think TJ Oshie's a lot better player. And you start to look at Nashville, like they traded their first-round pick. They're going to try to filter in some younger players. But I almost see them right now as two teams that, well, good teams, I don't see them as better teams from last year. And I think that could prove to be, you know, I don't want to say problematic, but if they don't look to add some things or change a couple of things around, I think they could both find themselves in the same situation they found themselves in this year in the playoffs out rather quickly.
Craig Button joins us from TSN. Craig, the Los Angeles Kings are in a very interesting situation. They went out and, you know, obviously they tried to avoid Mike Richards' contract. Well, I guess they did successfully, but we'll wait to see the appeal from the PA. Now, Voinov, who is being suspended by the league right now, has going to face some jail time. Maybe he gets off and it pleads. And, you know, obviously he admitted, and even if you read the transcript, that clearly he did physically hit his wife. I don't think there's any debating that. It was right there in the transcript. What do you think the LA Kings do here as far as Voinov goes, and how bad is it going to look if they're like, well, we tried to get rid of Mike Richards because he's a useless player for us in our minds at his contract, but Voinov, well, that's okay because he's a good young player.
Well, I mean, it isn't that right there the crux of it? Like, you're picking and choosing who you terminate and who you don't terminate?
Yeah.
I'll go to one other thing. And, I mean, I talked to a couple of lawyers that are well-versed in this regard. And, you know, they said to me that, you know, you get into court and you ask, you examine the LA Kings. Okay, you bought them out. Why did you not buy out Jarrett Stoll? Or why did you not terminate Jarrett Stoll's contract? And people say, well, he was a free agent. Well, wait a sec. So the fact that he's a free agent means that you don't terminate his contract, but because this player has a cap hit that's onerous, now so you're picking and choosing who you terminate. It has nothing to do with the behavior. And, you know, I personally believe they're in quicksand, and I think that it's very, very tenuous for the LA Kings. That's just my – that I say that. But I've also talked to some lawyers that think that, you know, this becomes like a precedent-setting case. Because what defines as, you know, really when you want to get down to the definition of violating the terms of the SPC, now you're into a different scenario. Just to your point, he's young, we keep him. He's got a contract that doesn't work for us, we don't keep him. Tough to do.
What about the National Hockey League as a whole? If the LA Kings elect to not be wise and not do anything themselves, does the NHL have to step in and say, okay, to play in our league, you abuse women, we have so many female fans, that can't happen? Does the NHL have to step in and do something if the Kings don't?
Well, the NHL did step in. They suspended him.
Yeah, but he wasn't playing, right?
But they suspended him, and then they suspended him with OPEC once he was charged, right? I mean, they said, and they're going to continue to review it. Yep. Listen. Yeah, I think that the National Hockey League sets standards. I think they're responsible for setting high standards and for clearly identifying unacceptable behavior. And certainly, you know, assault of a spouse, assault of women is unacceptable. There's no way that any of that is acceptable in any way, shape, or form. But, and I will say this, is that, you know, we do. There's no record of him having a previous history of that, and people do deserve a second chance. But I will say this: that, you know what, I don't believe that if it happens again to a player, if it's a second offense, that he deserves an opportunity to come back in the league. I do believe that. And while teams may bring back a player, I think that the league can uphold that. But I don't think if you're remorseful, if you're prepared to pay the punishment, and you are genuinely prepared to move forward in a completely different way, then I think you deserve that second opportunity, but not a third.
Last one from the lawyer friends that you're talking to, Craig. What's the, the LA Kings, when you look at the history, Donald Fehr, funny enough, was the guy who was, every time Major League Baseball tried to terminate a contract for the PA, he was fighting it, and they won every time. The only time it didn't get overturned was when a player in 2008, Sean Chacon, actually physically grabbed his coach and threw him to the ground a few times. That was considered worse in the eyes than smuggling drugs in from the Mexican border, funny enough. Fair, who has a long history of kind of liking to battle, he'll stand up for the players. You know the PA is going to challenge this, and they defeat the Mike Richards one. Do you think the wording of contracts in the future can change to include this type of thing?
Well, the only thing that can change is, remember, the SPC, the Standard Players Contract, is collectively bargained. So it's part of the CBA. So until the next CBA is negotiated, nothing can change. Listen, there's terms in there that leave gray. And you just touched on the league and the SPC. This has far-reaching implications for the NHL. There's a lot of teams. They aren't very happy what LA is doing, but they see it as a way of them trying to get out from underneath their significant cap hit on Mike Richards. So they're not happy. The Players Association can't be happy because, you just want to terminate a contract. What defines that behavior? And, that's where this is going to lay. And that's why when I say, why did they not terminate this Jarrett Stoll contract? Why did you not terminate the Jarrett Stoll contract? and that I think that is the one that's going to ultimately come back and really hurt them. And
well, even
you cannot just have people going willy nilly and saying we don't like that behavior, we're terminating your contract. Tough. You now are going down. You're going into a dark hole, and the PA isn't going to allow that to happen. And the league isn't happy about this either.
Well, the only one on Stoll was because when it happened, his contract, like I know it expired June 30th, but you could have terminated, but you're really not terminating anything because there was no money left paid, right?
But that's the question. Remember, this now turns on legal, right?
Yeah.
You're right. Like, I know there's no money. So then you're not terminating one because of no money, but you're terminating the other one because of money. So are you terminating because of act, or are you terminating because of what the consequences of keeping that contract are? Two big different things.
Craig,
I think they're in quick. Think they're in quicksand.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what they do and maybe what, if anything, the NHL does. And really, Voinov, this might even be bigger than the NHL because you know there's some talk that he might get kicked out of the country. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, and we have to wait on that. Like, you know, how does it affect his visa? How does it affect his standing in the country as a foreigner? And you know, those have implications too.
Craig, have yourself a fantastic summer. We will touch base, definitely in September and maybe before then.
Yeah, we'll do it before because we'll get together and have a nice lunch.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true. I owe you lunch. So, okay, perfect.
Thanks. It's been great, Jason. You know what? I always make sure that Friday is a day that makes me happy, and it's because of being able to come on. I think you do an unbelievable job, and I'm happy to be part of your show.
Craig, I really appreciate that, man, and thanks for all the stuff you do on NBC and TSN. We love the passion you bring on the show, so we love it.
Thank you very much.